Min campus alihor. Miaj Karsten Schwede. Nilqakom għal dan li huwa l-aħħar programm fl-ewwel sensiela ta' minn kampus sal-ieħor miegħi Karsten Xwieraq. Inkomplu mill-iskeda li jmiss bit-tieni sensiela ma' għal din l-ewwel sensiela diġà wasalna fit-tmiem. Nittama li għal min segwa programmi oħra s'issa jew direttament minn fuq ir-radju, jew bit-tennija li tixxandar. Jew inkella online permezz tal-recordings kollha li jkunu intella malajr fuq sita kap sefem oġbukom u għalhekk forsi sibtu anki ċertu valur interessanti, ta' ispirazzjoni, forsi anke naqgħu wens għal min li jkun għaddej minn ċertu żmien fil-karriera tiegħu jew tagħha jew tagħhom illi forsi ma jkunux dejjem dritti, imma kien fissimhom minn daw ir-rakkonti ħafna drabi jkun hemm ftit. L-wiet u ċertu zigużajk li mġdem u previst. Speċjalment jekk wieħed irid ikun attiv, aġġornat u jipprova dejjem ikun relevanti għas-soċjetà ta' madwaru. Il-programm tal-lum li għala essenzjela, l-ewwel essenzjela jispiċċa inħoss b'mistiedna partikolari li fid-dinja tagħha tal-imma jiġu l-politika kulturali jkellimni ħafna lili personalment peress li dak huwa l-isfond tiegħi u anke l-personalità tagħha kif qed isimgħu hija waħda ħajja ħa taslilkom permezz tal-eħina u anke tal-mużika li se tagħżel. Il-persuna hija Karla Figueira li hija akademika fid-dinja kifattilkom ta' relazzjonijiet kulturali u anki tħares li d-dimensjoni tal-lingwa u anki dawk tal-mużika. Fatt kif ħadd isimgħu niċċertaw anki ftit fuq dan l-aspett anki b'mod ħit leġġier għaliex Karla f'simpatija tagħha hemm kapaċi wkoll torbot ħafna aspetti ta' ħajjitna illum il-ġurnata kemm ħafna li forsi sempliċement nżaw. Prodotti servizzi kulturali anki forsi għal dawk li jipproduċuhom. Hija qiegħda bbażata Goldsmiths University Londra fejn kellu xorti ta' minn darba nżura għal xi proġetti u għal xi seminars. Hija direttriċi tal-proġetti marbutin mal-masters fil-proġetti kulturali u hemm anki d-dimensjoni tal-diplomazija kulturali internazzjonali li tmiss li huwa interessanti ħafna. Matul din l-intervista xi żmien ittir, ma tantx kellna ħin immissu l-aspett ta' turizmu. Forsi għal darbohra, immi tmessi preċi wkoll dak l-aspett. Karla hija gradwata fir-relazzjonijiet internazzjonali mill-Università Teknika ta' Lisbona, il-Portugal, fejn twildet u fejn trabbit għal numru ta' snin, u mbagħad kif qed irrakkontanna permezz ta' kuntatti, proġetti, kollaborazzjonijiet. U id-dinja marbuta maquta internazzjonali li ħadmet u għadha taħdem fiha imxiet anke f'postijiet oħra bħal Renju Unit fejn għamlet xogħol ta' studji ta' proġetti City University bħala Achieving Scholar u anke d-dottorat tagħha proprju fl-istess università ta' City University. Karla hija membru ta' ħafna networks, inkluż NCATC li hija l-Assoċjazzjoni Ewlenija fl-Ewropa fuq Maniġjar u Politika Kulturali u fix-xogħol tagħha tagħmel xogħol ovvjament ta' lettur fl-Università fejn tmexxi ix-xogħol u anki tagħti lectures għandha numru ta' interessi ta' riċerka li tagħmel u tippersegwi ma' kollegi u anki ma' studenti. Għandha numru ta' studenti ta' profilu li ħafna illi ħarġu ħanajdu hekk mix-xogħol tagħha, ippubblikat fuq il-lingwa kif għatajdilna jistess brabta anki ma' dimensjoni koloniali imperialistika Portugiża ġewwa l-Afrika u għalhekk minn dak l-aspett anki tidħol fuq elementi ta' kummerċ internazzjonali, ta' diplomazija u anki dik li hija d-diversità kulturali globalizzata. Jani għafawri, maċen ħafna li jirrit joħroġ propju minn intervista ma' Karla. Imma għassoltu nir-ingrazzja l-Davinja Gallia u ARC Consultancy fi mkien ma' sħab Maltin pal-Kunsil Malti għall-Arti u l-Orkestra Filarmonika, kif ukoll sħab internazzjonali tal-proġett Medinea illi kien finanzjat mill-Unjoni Ewropea fost l-oħrajn biex ovvjament dal-proġett sabiħ illi waslenna il-mużika f'din is-sens ta' kollha ta' minn Campus Aliver. E nisma l-intervista ma' Karla Figueira. Welcome back all our listeners to today's program Min Campus Alihor, which as the regulars know would loosely translate as to something like campus hopping. The idea of the program is to connect with various colleagues and friends. I did admit at the beginning of the series that COVID was part of the motivation for a series like this to rebuild and reconnect with people maybe I haven't seen for a few years. And my guest today, Karla Figueira. Hello, Karla. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being with us.
Hello, Carson. Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. So thank you very much for the invitation.
In your case, I'm really happy to be connecting your campus in London, currently Goldsmiths, and actually quite for a few years now. Also not only being there, but shaping it, helping build, helping develop, and we'll have time to talk about that, because that's the aim of the program, connecting campuses and connecting stories, also maybe helping to inspire, motivate, or simply sort of add in a bit of different people's narratives from all over the world, campuses all over the world, to the listeners of Campus FM. Carla, we've got, I think, quite a bit to say, because to me, in a very sort of honest way, I'd say you somehow epitomize, symbolize a lot of what is good today in the field of cultural policy. It's a field that listeners know I'm very interested in and I've practiced in. And somehow, through direct contact, also common colleagues we've got, having participated maybe in networks and platforms, other people who are also on this show in this series, somehow I think always reflect, like many sides to a prism, that cultural policy can be so rich, so diverse, and even probably our listeners already from the brief introduction I gave about you in Maltese, could have sort of started ticking off elements of music and language, but also diplomacy, which I associate a lot with what you do and you practice. But then even something a bit like different, like the Eurovision and how pop culture and music and language within the European Union structure also reflect back on us from that very scintillating prism, which is culture and society. In this program, what we generally do is sort of even to have a direction and make some sense of the many stories which come out, try to follow or at least start off with a chronological perspective.
Yeah.
The first part of the program sort of tries to look a little bit at the beginnings, first steps, first contact with this field and what you've done. And in your case, obviously there's the Portuguese background and connection, yeah, but there's the British one, and there's also so much more in between.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder whether you could sort of take us by the hand and tell us a little bit how your experience started in the field of academia, but not only.
Sure, of course. It's interesting what you said about making sense, because that's what I find that, you know, I'm constantly doing is also making sense. Mm. And to be honest, when I started in this journey professionally, I didn't know that it was going to take me here. And I think obviously it's the same for many people.
Mm.
So let's go back a bit, as you said,
yes,
and start in Portugal, where I was born. where I was raised and educated. And let's say, I think my teenage years probably is where I would start, because that's where I could see my interest in the arts, in culture, developing and attending different arts events, exhibitions, theater, concerts. So there was a personal interest already in that.
And was it a vibrant environment that you were lucky to be part of? You were seeing many things in one breath there. That I imagine, yes, there was quite a bit of exposure.
So, you know, I've lived always in the suburbs of Lisbon or in Lisbon. So being near the capital, you are in an environment where there's a lot happening.
Yes.
One thing was, I don't have any particular, I would say, talent, artistic talent. I don't play, but I like dancing. But I've never pursued, let's say, in professionally or even in an amateur way, a specific art form. And some of my colleagues with whom, you know, then I have worked, or some of them still work, have had that kind of dual engagement, not just as public, but as performers, creators. So I don't have that. But it was always a personal interest to be kind of wanting to be at least attending artistic performances. Also had a very strong interest in international relations. So, and that was why then when the time came to choose where to go for university, what subject to study, I chose international relations. And then I specialized in political and cultural relations.
Right.
So obviously there were the two components coming together.
Yes, yes. Could you tell us a little bit from your experience? Because I think if I had to ask this to different people, as something I do on this program, I get different answers. When you say so, the political dimension and the cultural dimension, it happens to me as well if I speak about international relations in the Mediterranean. So do you distinguish between the two? How much, to what degree? And on the other hand, how close are they together? So is the political dimension the boring bit, but the important bit, while culture is a bit more fun, but not really so important, less relevant?
I think different perspectives.
Yeah, I'm being mean, I know.
No. It's interesting question. And it's good to be able to kind of reflect on that question from different ways. And I think I can see myself also in different positionings when I'm more positioning the political field and how I see the use of culture from that political field.
Okay.
Or if I'm more positioning myself in the cultural field and then looking at the politics of culture. Okay. So I think this issue of positioning and how you look into the areas, because in the end, everything is political, everything is cultural, isn't it? So,
yes.
And also then my later professional career, which for almost 10 years, I was an arts manager in the Department of Culture of Lisbon Local Authority, that also gave me a good perspective of kind of this level of politics, of culture, and the arts really play out at a very local level. And then later on becoming an academic, and still in the process of becoming an academic while I was doing my PhD, being more attuned then how international relations and that sort of high-level politics could use culture. And therefore, that's why then now, let's say, in my later career, cultural diplomacy really became a focus in terms of wanting to reflect how then international cultural relations broadly and then cultural diplomacy specifically make them use of arts and culture specifically to the benefit of many different stakeholders, serving a multiplicity of agendas.
Yes.
And I think both as professionals and practitioners, and also as academics, we do tend to compartmentalize, to simplify, which we have to because reality is really complex and it's difficult to be able to bring together all the different facets of whatever we're looking at or working on or studying. But it's kind of this fine balance that I try to maintain, that while focusing on whatever piece of work I'm doing for study or for practice, that I don't lose track also with the bigger picture.
Right, right, right.
I think that's really important.
Of the adage in economics, which I had studied for my A-levels a while ago now, sort of that you try to study things and keep everything else stuck while you're in one particular line, so everything else being equal, which is never the case. But in order to apply a certain approach, an analytical approach, you need to do that. And you're also reminding me of something which comes out very strongly in your work and your practice. So the trans-disciplinary, cross-disciplinary approach, which you probably even looking back, as you said, in your time, a decade at sort of working within a political environment, which is also a local authority, working with the cultural sector, would have taught you a lot. And probably at a particular point in time, sort of Portugal developing, a young member of the European Union.
So exactly. It was a very exciting time. I have really enjoyed my time working for the local authority. I was part of different projects that were really trying to push the boundaries of mixing technology and culture. So I worked with a video library. Then I worked also with the sound library, working, you know, with the libraries in the local authority, but also, you know, the usual providing grants to artists, looking into twinning projects. So that was quite a wide variety of experiences I was exposed to. And that's something also I find really important as an academic, not to lose track of practice. I think obviously, particularly in the arts management field, cultural policy, you can't lose track of practice. And of course, you know, in the high level, international relation, international politics, you may be dealing with, you know, again, very high level, top-down decisions, but you can't lose track of what is happening. And almost, I think, in either practice or policy, have an orientation, have particular values, a mission that you would like to accomplish, you know, as you go through your different stages in life. So, but going back to the point of the transdisciplinarity, for me, it was something very natural. Because international relations in itself, even when I started, you know, my BA in the late 80s, early 90s, it was still an area that was developing itself as a discipline, let's say.
Sort of in a way forming around itself.
Exactly.
Separate from other areas.
Because we had political science. You know, law and those were the areas, and international relations was coming in Portugal still, obviously, as kind of this new course, this new BA. But for me, it really represented, you know, the area in which I wanted to be. So for me, then, obviously, later on, this trying to find your academic tribe, I always had difficulty in positioning myself, you know, in being in a kind of like a narrow group. So, and also because I had different interests, as we mentioned, culture, but then another strong interest was language and foreign languages. So then this issue of linguistics and particularly of social linguistics was also a big draw in terms of what I wanted to research. And, you know, many of you, you know, if you are being educated in a particular value system, mm-hmm. A country with particular history, like Portugal is, you know, a former colonial power, there are certain narratives that are fed into the education system and that you either want it or not, you are exposed to, and that you mm-hmm. later on start questioning. And for me, that became very apparent, this idea of the Portuguese language as a unifying element that transcended borders, and that then, you know, was a link between Portugal and Brazil, Portugal and, you know, many African countries, Portugal with the whole world.
Yes, yes. In fact, it's reminding of a book of yours from 2013. There's the link on your university page, Languages at War, External Language Spread is in Lusophone Africa. So you've got sort of the imperial colonial history, however, being brought up to today, and how Portugal sort of literally, now everyone imagines the face of the Iberian Peninsula looking to the Atlantic, but having sort of relations everywhere in Africa and in South America and in Asia as well. And somehow through language, you try to explore what is really happening on the ground.
Yeah, the tensions. I think that was very important because you are fed certain official narratives and then obviously you scrape the surface. And you also see how those narratives have changed throughout time and even the official discourses around Portuguese language as this unifying element of the Portuguese speaking world, they have changed over time. And so part of that work, is in that book exactly, you know, how those things have changed, how it's, you know, if you look at it from a very, a local point of view, and mm-hmm. here I'm not going to go obviously in details, but the mm-hmm. two countries that are the focus of that work are Guinea-Bissau and Mozambique. And they were actually chosen because they sit in two very interesting geopolitical areas. So one in the east coast of Africa, Mozambique, surrounded by countries that have English as the official language, and Guinea-Bissau on the west coast, surrounded more by countries that have French as the official language. So in terms of geopolitical influences, mm-hmm. That was very interesting, but it was also interesting in terms of the internal ecologies that language has in those countries, because in Guinea-Bissau you have a Creole, but not in Mozambique. So, but for me, I was also very influenced by linguistic human rights. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And ideas of linguistic imperialism, and here obviously the work of Robert Philipson and his wife Tove Skutnak-Kangas were very important, and I always it's been a constant interest, one I haven't touched that much lately, but it's not forgotten, it's just mm-hmm. lying slightly dormant. Yes. I really want to revisit
it. Might be something, yes, that you pick up in the near future. Carla, we're making headway in this program. My guest today, Carla Figueira, at Goldsmiths University in London. But for now, in this first part, we've spoken, as is usual in this program, on sort of the beginnings of the Portuguese connection, or the Portuguese connection, sort of opening up to a global connection.
Yeah.
However, let's catch our breath and pause a little while before we move closer to your next steps, including the transition to the UK. And I think quite appropriately, we're going to listen to the first track, one of two tracks, which guests on the show always choose to share with the listeners of this program of Campus FM. So can you tell us a little bit about the first track, which will take us a little bit back in time as well?
Okay, so it was a difficult decision to choose the songs to share with you. But the first one I would like to share is a song called Estou Além, which can be very loosely translated to I am beyond or I am there. And it's by a Portuguese song writer, António Variações. He's unfortunately no longer with us. But it was very important in opening up a different way of singing in Portuguese. And I think he was very ahead of his time. So just enjoy, and if you can read the lyrics in English,
mm-hmm.
And I think it's very meaningful. I'll let you explore that on your own.
We'll listen to it then. Thank you. So we're back after that beautiful piece of music that my guest today on the program in Campus Alihor here on Campus FM shared with us, Carla Figueira. We're back, Carla. And we left a little bit the Portuguese background very much alive with that music. To sort of look at the next steps in your career development, in your career, which is what this program is about. So what came next? Where did all this transdisciplinary approach take you to?
Yeah, okay. So again, as you said at the beginning, Karsten, making sense now looking back is easier. And I can see how one thing led to another. And I'll quote one person, aside one name, Rod Fisher. So Rod Fisher was a researcher that I used to follow when I was working for the local authority in Lisbon, because obviously even at that time I was very interested in cultural policy and arts management and in furthering my education. And Rod Fisher was very active in organizing networks at European level, and I followed his work then. So it happens that, and just kind of like fast forwarding, and I'll explain a bit in the middle, Rod is now my colleague. We share an office at Goldsmiths. And obviously during the rest of the conversation, we will unpick, you know, how we got there, that Rod now is my colleague. So, as I said, I was an arts manager at Lisbon's local authority. And at the time, the field of education in arts management and cultural policy in Portugal was not very developed. We really did not have any sort of training. And what I had learned, I really learned on the job, in kind of having conversations with people that were doing it longer than I had. So I always kind of felt that I wanted to explore a little bit more of what was the practice in other countries. And I remember, as part of professional development, having internships in France and going and visiting other infrastructures, you know, learning from other colleagues in other countries. So that was very important. Around that time too, I realized that the British government, through the British Council, had Schevening scholarships that were for people that had already a little bit of experience. So I applied for one to study arts management in London. And fortunately, I was able to be awarded one of those scholarships. And that's what enabled me to, for the first time, have training in the area and live for a longer period of time away from Portugal. And that really marked the transition. And I joke with my students, and that's where I say, I'm also a product of cultural diplomacy.
Yes, yes, that's really interesting. And you yourself.
Exactly. I'm a product of that.
Are a witness and a living example of how it can work in practice.
Exactly, because that's the traditional instrument for countries to forge links in, you know, in between themselves and through the people of the different countries. So, and it really worked. And the joke goes deeper because it's both a professional and a personal link, because obviously, I also met my now husband when I came to London, and obviously, you know, years after, then, you know, we formed a family. So it became not just a professional interchange, a personal interchange. Yes.
And that's interesting, isn't it? Because you mentioned stages, internships, travel, work experience, job shadowing, then scholarships. And it's almost impossible. Also, one might ask, one would one even want to do that, separating one's professional development with the personal one? It could be family, friends, networks, setting up your own new home, as happened in your case.
Yes. But it was really a difficult transition to, you know, having to move country, and obviously that when it's temporary, I think it's easier to manage that than when it becomes kind of a more definitive transition. Because now I came to the point that now I am a dual citizen. So it's quite a lot of personal change also around these professional decisions that, you know, you kind of have to cope with throughout the years.
And it's not only Carla between two countries in this case. You've got the whole European Union.
Yes. All those changes.
Yeah, that's right. And the changes, obviously, involving also Brexit, for instance.
Because I also say, I remember before the European Union, I remember before Portugal not being in the European Union. And I think is this perspective that obviously you gain later in life, that is very important to see how quickly things can change. You know, I've been through Brexit. For a long time, I did not really see the need to apply for British citizenship. But obviously, then we were no longer in the European Union. That's and I never thought I would have to, you know, go through this. I always thought of Europe, open borders, being able to move anywhere. And obviously, when you are faced with this, you know, I keep positive. I'm sure we can forge a different relationship. Because the UK is in Europe,
if
not in the European Union.
Yes, and possibly from your perspective, because it's so rooted in cultural policy, cultural diplomacy, international relations.
Absolutely.
And all the diversity that sort of goes into the political thinking.
Yes.
Then your perspective on what's happened since the first country you were in actually joined the European Union, for the second one you moved to, to move out. All that works.
It's been really interesting. And you can see also how scary it is, how things can change so quickly. What you thought it was something that was a given, and then suddenly it's no longer there. It was a situation I thought that I would never live through. But there it was.
I'll come back to your experience connecting it to sort of the profession and the personal, which this program is quite a lot about. I would imagine, even from what you're telling us today in the program, sort of that somehow you did have a skill set, a toolbox, which maybe you didn't intend in developing to deal with so personal situations, but they must have somehow provided some insight and some help for yourself, and I imagine even for your students, because as we know, from his perspective, we're quite aware of the changes that British campuses are going through.
Yeah, and in a way, and I'll just so I can connect the dots. So Rod Fisher was one of my lecturers when I was doing the masters. Then I kept in touch with him. He had a consultancy, and I also worked as a consultant for his consultancy. So being an academic or becoming an academic while I was doing my PhD, you are very isolated. You know, at least in my case, it was a very isolated work. It was a very niche area because I was blending social linguistics with international relations, with culture and the arts. And so I didn't really have that many people to speak with that kind of really understood what I was talking about. And I can only thank again Naz Razul, that was my supervisor in the later stages of the PhD, for her patience and, you know, openness in supervising something that was not fully under her expertise. You know, she was more from social linguistics. But it was a really interesting work for me. And my set of skills coming from arts management background was really important when then I became associated with Goldsmiths. And I started teaching arts management and cultural policy students. And so I became engaged with them, firstly by having put together and then teaching a module on cultural relations and cultural diplomacy for arts administration and cultural policy students. So it was really there that I could look back and make sense of my previous career as an arts manager, my academic interest in international relations, my personal interest in arts. So all of that was coming into being when I was kind of delivering for the first time that module. And then later on, when I developed the module into a master program. So because then I'm comfortable with the practice, I'm comfortable with the theory. because I've been on both sides, and I still try to kind of either do an exhibition there or support the student doing a project. So I do try to maintain both. I also at Goldsmiths have an initiative called Learn a Language, Find a Language Buddy at Goldsmiths. So language is always there, and practice is always there.
Carla, we're nearing to the last third of our conversation, but there I think you highlighted so many interesting areas in the development of an academic who tries to stay in touch with the field. It's something even our listeners, I'm sure, have heard colleagues of theirs or people who are older or younger than them, depending on their age, or themselves, but have gone through this sort of these phases, I would say, many phases, where you look back and you might see things aligned, maybe also because you're in the position where you're teaching. So you've got to somehow, as we said at the beginning, make sense of what is going on. Let's again use this juncture in our conversation to introduce the second track, because together with language, as we said, there's music, which is always there, the soundtrack, this accompaniment to your development, to your path. And I'd ask you to tell us why and what is the tune we're going to listen to.
So music is always there. You're absolutely right, Karsten. Because even when I was learning languages in my teenage years, I used to translate the lyrics of English pop songs into Portuguese. And that was a way for me to learn English. So that was, it was very useful. So both songs I've chosen, they are from the 80s. So when I was in my teenage years, so in the second one is by an international artist, Prince, and the song is 1999.
So let's go back and also go forward this way.
Absolutely.
So we're back after that tune by Prince. Always great to listen to the sort of classics, the major artists, because somehow they reach out, and then their international stature, they sort of in a way communicate very well with everyone. My guest today, Carla Figueira, shared that with us and shared so many other stories in this career path, which we're trying to condense in a short program. In this last part, Carla, I'd like us to maybe look a little bit at other areas you are interested in, and other areas you are dealing with maybe now, and possibly also, we hinted at this before, not having had time to do all the research and all the work you would have liked to do. Maybe finding the time, where else do you see yourself going? In conjunction maybe with projects and partnerships, and so co-authorships, which is something you've done already, and maybe possibly even a hint of future trends. What's exciting on the horizon?
Okay, so picking up on the partnerships, I think it's super important to maintain and develop your connections with fellow researchers, like colleagues from all different areas. And for me, that has always been very important. So I mentioned Rods at the beginning, that I looked up to when I was an arts manager, then he became my teacher, and now he's also my colleague. And so that encapsulates really what I think work in cultural policy and in other academic areas should be. So it's not just an isolated work, but it's a conversation with others and working with others. And in that sense, networks have always been very important for me. So being part of networks, networking, and I know some people don't like the word, it feels kind of like, have to network, but it's more kind of maintaining relationships, maybe if we should call it networking, but it's kind of engaging with and developing those relationships. And obviously it has been important, the relationship I have with NCAT, the European one of the European networks that deal with cultural administration training centers, NCAT.org. So they have been very important. Throughout the years, have been doing cultural relations and cultural diplomacy academies, and engaged with many different people, many institutions in different countries. And they have been a very important hub for me to maintain the connections. More recently, the work that Rafaela Hens at Heilbronn University and Victoria Durer did, Victoria at University College Dublin, initiating the Brokering Intercultural Exchange Network.
In fact, both of them guests on the series as well, because
right. So you know,
there are so many people on a global level. An example to mention, in fact,
really important. And even more recently, for example, the International Cultural Relations Research Alliance Network, that is being sponsored, hosted by IFA and the British Council, has also been important. But I've been, in other networks, and I've always gained a lot from that sort of engagement.
I think, Carla, this, if we want commendation, even maybe to the younger listeners, but as long as you're young at heart, why not? It's almost a part and parcel of one's education. There's the formal aspect, and maybe when you were talking about your work experience, it made me reflect something which I think about sometimes, which sometimes we might sort of dedicate a lot of time and our personal development to formal education, but missing out on sometimes where it really matters, practice, the field, the links with politics, and on a global level, even these type of partnerships. So I think that was a really sort of good point of always, in a way, saying yes to connections and to trying to bring things together, the formal and informal, the maybe more solitary sometimes, if you're doing a PhD, for example, but then also the social connections. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, absolutely. It's good to highlight that, Karsten, because it's by having those conversations. And, you know, I think we've all had sometimes, you know, conference overloads, you know, like hearing too many people talking is just too much. Mm-hmm. But sometimes is the quiet conversation on the side, you know, the conversation during the break or at the end of the day where, you know, you can bounce ideas of your colleagues. You find, you know, areas of interest that you can develop together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I've had, you know, for like now 10 years, a friendship and collaboration with Amy Fullman, that is now director of the National Resources Center of Creative Forces in the U.S., and over the years, you know, we have written together. We, you know, kind of, even during COVID, it's been really important, this friendship.
Yes, I can imagine.
Bounce off ideas that we might be having about the difficulties we're facing in the pandemic. And yeah, you know, in her case, so my latest paper is co-written with Amy Fullman, and it's about cultural relations and climate action. So
what you call the critical zone in this particular paper.
It's for me one of my current interests.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But making sense of it, it's also something I was very interested in the beginning of my academic career. I normally don't tend to talk much about that, but I did start an MA in international relations, and I was preparing to do the dissertation on ecology. I never finished it. This was in Portugal while I was still an arts manager. But that part of ecology was always for me a very strong interest that, you know, now after all these years, I'm picking up again. And now blending it in with cultural relations.
Yes, and in a way, not a moment too soon, when you know that.
No, it's been.
Is not some twilight zone. It's now. It's the present.
It's been an ongoing issue, and you know, having been there in terms of following the topic since, you know, the 90s, it's a pressing issue. It hasn't stopped being a pressing issue. And, you know, I feel the need that we are in an emergency. There's no denial. And I think everyone needs to do a little bit. It can't just be governments, although they do have a big responsibility to be able to make major changes so that then those can be more impactful. But everyone at their personal level, community level, can make changes. And even cultural relations organizations, cultural relations practitioners have a big role to develop.
Yes. Carla, we're nearing the very end with a couple of minutes left. But as a closing question, maybe on this point you've just mentioned, what's your impression of the pickup, the reaction of this important critical zone, as you describe it, in terms also of colleagues, students, maybe, and whether there is sort of a corpus and a greater awareness picking also in this direction. So at the beginning, you said at some points you might have felt solitary and finding it hard to find the right interlocutors. Now, cultural policy has become more mainstream.
Definitely there is more awareness, Karsten, of the whole issue, even at the level of cultural policy and arts management, for example, specifically in terms of climate action, climate change. There is awareness. People and organizations are taking steps at different levels to mitigate effects of climate change. I can see that happening. I just hope it's not too late.
I think if someone like you, and I really thank you again for sharing all these experiences with us, and suggest to listeners who might want to read more about you and your works, to refer to your Goldsmiths University website, because there's lots of stuff there. Part of the formal education structure But something which struck me was sort of this reaching out, branching out into civil society, partnerships, networks on a global level gives that extra oomph, sort of that extra dimension.
I think it's very important to always maintain that connection. And just to take this opportunity also to mention another project that I'm very engaged with,
please.
Which is one researching the Eurovision Song Contest. I have to mention it because I find it really important in terms of linking European ideals with practices of individuals, with fans, for example, that keep this memory of unity in diversity that is encapsulated in this case in music. And that often is dismissed as something that is for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really rich field of research in which you see portrayed a multiplicity of issues from gender to, you know, political conflict. To issues of the music business too. So I continue to have quite a few research interests that broadly fall into international cultural relations. And I hope to continue being able to further these in the future and continue to collaborate with colleagues as I've always done.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much, Carla, again today, because that was really, really interesting and very inspiring. For me and for our listeners as well.
And thank you also for anyone listening. It's been a pleasure for me to be with you today. And please feel free to get in touch. If you Google my name, I'm sure you will find me.
Thanks, Carla. Nittama li dik l-intervista li taħlaq din l-ewel sensira ta' minn campus għalihor miħek għar sinxira uġbitkom. Carla Figueira kif fattilkom xaħat professjonist fil-settur tagħha u anki komunikatriċi tajba ħafna biex twassal propju dik l-esperienza u anki l-entuzjazmu tagħha f'dan is-settur lejn kull min jisma. Għallek ma jibqali xejħ li f'nirringrazzja konta li kuntu mija għafu din l-ewwel sensiela nistudinkom kunu mija jaħtini wahra. Mis-sensiela minn kampus għalibar. Sajjin.